What is up, everybody? I hope we're all having a great day today. So, as you can imagine, I've got a lot to tell you. A lot has happened within these 2 months for me. Anyway, I'm outside of like the shopping district area. It says it's more of a business district, but I don't know what that is. I call it a mini mall. Look, all I know is that there's a vending machine outside selling seltzers, and I've got a story to tell you, but the podcast is back, I'm not dead, yay. So, I got a lot to tell you, let's just do this. Last thing I remember is being on the roof of the radio station while being surrounded and that thing was coming down at me. I just remember before it was about to attack me, I saw this flash of light. It was orangish purple, like pastel colors, like twilight outside. And when I woke up, I was on the beach. To be more specific, I knew about that beach. That's Dennis Shore Beach. My sister lives about a mile away from there. So the weird thing that was getting me, besides almost getting eaten by whatever that thing was, so I disappeared during the daytime, and when I reappeared, it was nighttime. Kind of nighttime. It was twilight. It was kind of stuck in this forever twilight time where the sun is just about to go down and the sky is just lit up with all these pastel colors, but it doesn't, like, the sun never goes down. And on top of that, I was in a completely different city. I know that Werewetown kind of sits on four different city borders, so it's just kind of there awkwardly, but still, I was miles away. And another thing is that where I was located, this beach was well known for being a highway. You can easily get from one city to the next taking this highway, but there were no cars on the road. Not only that, but if you go down the highway going south, you come across a kind of break-off point where there are all these little bars and beach shops, diners, restaurants, it's a tourist attraction area, as well as a really well-known night bar area as well. So if there were no cars coming from the highway, that's weird. But also the fact that there were no cars or lights coming from this very exclusive, very well-known kind of nightlife area was also just really weird. The only real light I had there were the street lamps and the little bit of sun that was still kind of coming through. I looked around as I was brushing myself off, trying to get all the sand out of my hair and off my clothes, and I started hearing this weird sound coming from behind me. I was still full of adrenaline, so I just kind of like jolted around. I didn't see anything though, but I thought it was a wave, but I saw kind of like this scaled back, like this giant scaled finned back come out of the water and go back in. I have no idea what that was about, nor am I about to unpack that right now, so I just kind of booked it. I was running for a little bit, but after a while I just kind of started walking to catch my breath. I was starting to see some lights coming up ahead, so that was getting me really excited. When I got to where the lights were coming from, I saw a little bit more street lamps on, and there's a gas station kind of at the first light you see, and so there was some light coming from there. So I ran to the gas station, to try to see if somebody could just kind of help me out, give me a ride home, or, you know, help me just figure this weird thing out, because it didn't take me long to realize that the sun is just kind of stuck in this twilight kind of time, you know? The sun's not down, but it's not up at the same time. There's a little bit of light, but not much. So it hasn't moved since I've been there, and I've been at the beach for about an hour. So I was just trying to figure out, trying to kind of get my headspace again, trying to figure out what's going on. I got to the gas station and no one was there. I walked all around the gas station, no one was there. Looked at the taco shop across the street, no one was there. I checked for parked cars and there was honestly nothing. Nobody was around, and to be honest, I haven't seen a car since I started walking. I know that my sister lives relatively close by, so I just started heading towards her house. The most I have to worry about is just this really steep, inclined hill, but that, like I said, that was the most I really had to worry about. So I was walking to her house, and I got to her neighborhood, and again, no cars. Her home is really well known for kind of being like, oh, there's no parking spaces really available. And the fact that there were just no cars there, I kind of had this suspicion that maybe I'm not in Werewe Town anymore. Like, it's hard to explain. It looked like Werewe Town. It looked like where I call home. But a part of me, something told me that this is not Werewe Town, or at least the Werewe Town that I know. And so I got to her home, and she's got kind of like this big fence up, and these two adorable but big pit bulls that, when they hear this door kind of unlock, they just start kind of trying to cram out the door at the same time, and you hear kind of like this ruckus of like pitter-patter and like just dogs' feet just like on the ground trying to, you know, get to the front door. So I opened up her fence door, and I just kind of paused for a moment. I didn't hear anything, it was just silent. I opened it up, actually opened it up now, and I'm walking inside, and there's her front door. It looks like her home, but legitimately nobody is home. Usually I'd be able to look through the screen door and see my brother-in-law kind of playing video games or something, but like nobody was there, nobody was home. Both my sister and brother-in-law have jobs where they go to in the morning and they get off kind of in the evening, so they're going to be home, they're going to be going to sleep, but yeah, nobody was home, there were no lights, there were no cars, there were no dogs. Where was everybody? I was just kind of reaching this point where everything was feeling really alienated from me, and I kind of felt this loneliness that seeps into you only when you kind of know that you're the only person here. And so I was leaving her home, kind of closing the door behind me. And you know what? I need to see what's going on. I need a better eye view. And I remember that my old high school was about a mile away from here. And at my old high school, my friends and I, we would climb the high school. We would, like on the weekends, because there was like a Ralph's about a block away from the high school. So what we would do is we would just go kind of to the Ralph's, grab some ice cream and like some sodas, and we would go to our old high school, or our high school at the time, and we would just climb the roof of it and just kind of sit there. And we were able to kind of see like a good kind of part of the town. It wasn't like the best view, but it was definitely a bird's eye view. So like, get, you know? As I was walking, I feel like I was getting somewhat disassociated from my situation. You know, I knew I wasn't home, and I knew that I had no idea really where I was, and I knew that I'm not sure if I would find anybody. And yet, I was still kind of able to find this kind of relief in, you know, kind of being able to walk in the middle of the street, or being able to kind of, you know, like walk on the grass where there are signs that say don't be on the grass, you know, kind of just stupid stuff like that. You know, I was able to kind of find relief in the small things. And I think that's honestly what kind of saved me from going insane. But yeah, so I was just kind of walking, and it was strange because I saw this person, kind of walking away from me. They kind of like turned a corner, and started walking, as I was walking down a straight path, and I kind of saw them on the other, side of the street, and I just kind of got a little blown away, like I saw somebody. And so I just started kind of walking up to them, just kind of trying to like, hey, excuse me, hi, do you know where I'm at, like, can you help me, you know, just stuff like that. I got pretty close to him. I made sure to get on the other side of the street, and even started running at him, kind of, you know, this is the first person I've seen since I've been here, and I'm freaking out. You know, so to kind of see somebody gave me this type of relief that everything is going to be okay. And so I'm running to him, hey, excuse me, hi, excuse me, can you help me? And he turns around, and the head that swung around to look at me was like a dog's head. It was like a specifically a greyhound dog. And I remember this guy kind of looking at me, confused. And I just got freaked out more than I've ever, well, almost more than I've ever gotten freaked out, and I just started booking it. I know it sounds a little weird or stupid, kind of like a Halloween costume, but when you're there 5 feet away from a living person that looks like a human, looks like a human man, and they turn around and they're like this distorted humanoid, your body really has no way to register this. And you get sent into this fight or flight response that can only be triggered when you're face to face with something that you really cannot explain, and your body is trying its hardest to explain it. So I just kind of ran for a while. I'm not sure how long I was running for. My adrenaline was just emptying itself out. It was, you know, just absolutely just pumping. But I was getting closer to my old high school, and I was just kind of walking to catch my breath. I came to my old high school, and I was somewhat relieved, like, kind of, okay, I'll be able to climb it and find some answers or something, you know, kind of see something that I'm not able to see right now, being on, like, ground floor, you know? So I noticed that I need to get into the gymnasium area in order to get to the area that I have to climb the roof at. So I spent a good, I want to say 45 minutes kind of looking for some way to get to this very specific spot that's outside up and near the gymnasium area. And I had to just kind of climb the fence. It wasn't the hardest, definitely wasn't the prettiest, but I got over. So I made my way to the area where I can climb my high school, my old high school. And so there are these wires kind of sticking out, protruding out of the roof of the school. And there's kind of an area where you hit this one roof, but really it's just kind of like for maintenance workers to kind of be on to kind of navigate other areas, but then there are other areas that you need to climb as well. So I kind of had to grab on to these wires. These wires are, they're kind of protected. There's like this type of outside layer that makes them really hard. I don't know the terminology about it. I don't know anything about them, but there were just these wires that were sticking out, and they had this kind of protective tubing going through, so you couldn't really touch any loose wires or anything like that. So I kind of grabbed on, and I had to do this thing where I put one foot on my school and one foot was on the ground, and I had both wires in hand. I took a deep breath, really just hoped that I didn't gain too much weight from high school, and I started my very slow ascent. I was able to get to like this top roof area where, again, like the maintenance workers go. It's not the very top of the school, but it's kind of going to lead you to easier areas to kind of climb up to get to the top of the school. So I'm doing this. I'm kind of walking this kind of route that my friends and I kind of made, and I'm kind of climbing up these little steps, climbing these little ladders, things here and there, and at some point, I come across this area where it's a very narrow kind of pathway, and it's almost like a gutter. And so it's not a gutter, but it's almost like a gutter. It's like if you could just imagine just how small a gutter is. It wasn't that small, but it was still relatively narrow, and you were pretty high up. I kind of got to it and forgot that I even climbed this. I was kind of thinking to myself, man, how did I ever climb this when I was a kid? I am deathly afraid of heights. But I went for it, and I just kind of made my way across very slow, but steady. And so I'm now where I need to be. I'm on top of the school. I'm probably 70 to 100 feet high up. I'm not sure. But I'm facing out towards the town, and the sun is still in its twilight phase. But the fact that I'm higher up now gives me more light from the sun. So I was just kind of looking at my surroundings, kind of doing a 360 turnaround to see my horizons. And I honestly have no idea what I was looking at. I saw just a bunch of just kind of trees around and kind of dirt roads where they shouldn't be, wooden kind of shacks and wooden kind of homes and like stores. I saw even somewhat futuristic looking areas too. Like I think I saw like a floating car or something on the street. I look up, and there's definitely a bunch of, like, ships flying around. At first I thought that they were airplanes, but they're not. I saw one shaped like a triangle and one shaped like a W, if you'll believe it. I saw all these ships kind of flying around, and I look back down at the ground, and I see these little figures, kind of, not a lot of them, but I see these figures kind of walking through the streets. Some are in groups, some are by themselves, some are just kind of standing in one spot for a prolonged period of time. But the interesting thing that got me is I look over and I see almost like these temples looking structures. And these temples are just, they look really hieroglyphic. And this is from afar, but they look very hieroglyphic to me from where I was kind of seeing them. And I saw some kind of motion happening there, and just, I couldn't really take in all of it. Just, it was one of those things that appeared as if everything was normal, but it wasn't. It was one of those things where things looked out of place. Things looked not real. And to this day, I'm still trying to figure out how to describe it. But I'm not sure. I kept looking at the hieroglyphics, though. I kept looking at those temples, those towers, and like that area of just kind of trees and, you know, just kind of formations, rock formations. And I really wanted to explore that area just because I'm a huge history major, but I really truly believe that nothing good is there. Just whether you want to call it intuition, gut feeling, whatever you want to call it, something was telling me, like, we're not going over there. So as soon as my curiosity was sparked, this grounding realization kind of came over me that I am, you know, kind of, I don't know where I'm at, but I'm not home. And a part of me is having this struggle with myself, trying to kind of understand that, okay, if we accept this as our new reality, it's been a few hours since I've been in here. If I accept this as my new reality, I can kind of let go. And I can start to kind of accommodate myself around where I'm at, kind of understanding that I'm alone here. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know how long I can survive in here. But this is my new reality. Or I can keep trying to fight and holding on to hope of going back home. For a moment I thought that maybe I was in the afterlife or something like that. And a part of me was even kind of humoring that idea too, just kind of talking out loud to myself in the abyss, wondering if somebody is listening back, hearing me, and has something in store for me. I wasn't really feeling tired, I wasn't feeling hungry, I wasn't really feeling anything, and I kind of tried to ignore that because I would feel those feelings and then those like thoughts would come to my head of, okay, I'm dead, I'm, you know, just kind of accept it, but I just couldn't. I don't know what it is, I just couldn't accept it, and I just kind of was holding on to this thing of, oh yeah, I feel like if I were to focus on my stomach, I'd be hungry, because I kind of wanted to be hungry. Or like, if I was laying in bed, I'd fall asleep because I wanted to be tired, you know? I also wanted to just be somewhere familiar. I was just feeling really lonely, and I wanted to get some sense of familiarity. So I made the decision to walk back to my sister's. Between her house and my house, she was the closest, and I just didn't really want to go home. So I just kind of walked to her house. And as I was walking, I was just kind of like talking to myself, just kind of trying to persuade myself that, you know, this is not my reality, this is not where I'm gonna stay. I don't know how I got here, but here's where I'm at. And as I was walking, I got to my sister's house, and I just kind of got in. I had a spare key. A part of me was kind of thinking to myself, like, watch, this doesn't even work. But it worked. I was able to get into the house, and I just kind of locked it behind me. It was really ominous kind of being in her house that is normally filled, normally kind of like, it's not noisy, it's not loud, but there's definitely sounds happening. There's definitely noise going on. And to be in that house with none of that was something that kind of frightened me in this way that I never really understood. I could be scared. So I just kind of walked on over to her kitchen, kind of made remarks as if I'm like saying hi to my stepbrother, who's sitting in his chair playing video games, making it seem like I'm talking to my little nephew who is, you know, watching TV, making it seem like I'm saying, you know, hi to the dogs, and kind of going through the motions of trying to kind of, I guess, trick my brain and trick myself entirely, just kind of get out of this fight or flight, understand that everything is okay. But I just kind of grabbed a glass of water, and I wasn't thirsty, but again, I just wanted to feel thirsty. I went up to the guest bedroom that my sister has, and I just said goodnight to everybody as if I was actually talking to them and going through the entire motions of everything, you know, kind of even playing out in my head where my mom and my sister just kind of overshare and kind of stuff like that. And I'm just kind of like, you know, kind of sitting there kind of like, yeah, you know, and just kind of things like that. Just because I wanted all that to kind of be happening, you know? So I just kind of laid down, and I really wasn't tired, but I just kind of closed my eyes, just trying to kind of convince myself to fall asleep. I don't remember what happened much after that, but I remember waking up and seeing the room being flooded with pastel colored lights, and I saw a man standing in the middle of the room. I just kind of saw a silhouette, but his eyes looked like really bright lights. Until all of a sudden, I just saw this huge flash of light. It took a while for my eyes to adjust, but after my eyes kind of got used to the light, I was able to look around. I heard birds chirping and people talking and kind of going about their day. I was looking around, and I really didn't recognize where I was.
Did you enjoy your stay at Wherrytown?
I turned around. What? And I saw a cop standing over me.
Sir, I said that you can't lay here. This is a business district. Unless you're doing business, I'm gonna have to ask you to leave.
What's a business district? I asked as I turned back to him, but he was gone. Hello? Mr. Officer? There's nobody around. So I got up and brushed myself off and looked at the business district. Usually I wouldn't go into a business district because, personally, I don't know what that is, but, you know, so I don't really care about it, but I honestly just saw a bunch of people kind of walking around there, and I really wanted to be near people, so I just kind of walked through there, but it was pretty cool. I saw, like, a bunch of cool stuff. There's, like, a bunch of, like, little, small little shop headquarters, like, I came across, like, people that do engravings for, like, just anything. I came across like a McDonald's headquarters there. I came across like a storage unit, a little kind of like workshop area. And then, I even came across like this little kind of like hole in the wall coffee shop. It's not like a Starbucks or a Coffee Bean, but it's pretty good if you like just basic coffee. But I'm low maintenance like that. So it was really cool just kind of checking it out. And on the plus side, I saw this really cool little recording studio. It's this really small little area, and it's about $10 an hour to record in here, but it's got all the setups I need. It's pretty cool, and yeah, I'm just really excited to, you know, keep going with this podcast where I just tell all of you about this weird town I live in, and, you know, I still have a lot of questions, but I can't wait to have people in here that are going to help me answer those questions by kind of telling their story. I already have a roster of people who are lined up to tell their stories. I put an ad in the paper and a lot of people actually responded to it. So I'm really excited. I've got a really nice roster of people ready to tell stories about this town. And yeah, let's go from here. So come back next episode where I talk about our Halloween episode. It's really interesting, and I know you're all going to like it. And, Before I forgot, the guy at the front counter, Gus, wanted me to do a little ad for his little radio station. So please come to Gus's copyright studio where the prices are record low. I'm not proud of that. Okay. I'll see y'all next time, folks.